Tonight I'd like to talk about a subject that we've talked about years ago, and it's something that from time to time I know I need a reminder of it, and maybe some others do as well, and that is the subject of gossip. There's a story about a boy who passed on a rumor about his neighbor, and it made the neighbor mad, made him look bad, and by contrast, it made the one who was spreading the gossip look good. And for a time, he was happy with that because, you know, it turned out well for him. But after a few weeks, when somebody passed on a rumor about him, he realized how painful things like that could be. So he went to his neighbor, very humbled and penitent and apologetic. And the wise neighbor accepted the apology and asked the boy to do him a favor. He said, go home and get your feather pillow. You can tell this is an old story, right? Because he actually had one. And so the neighbor said, slice it open and then come back to my house, allowing the feathers to trail behind you. And so the boy did that. And when he returned to the neighbor's house, the neighbor said, now go collect all the feathers so we can mend your pillow. And the boy turned around and noticed that the feathers were being blown all over the place, all over the neighborhood by the wind. And he raced after them. He wasn't able to collect, but maybe about half of them. He told the neighbor, this is impossible. You could never collect them all. To which the neighbor replied, you know, it's just like the gossip that you spread about me. You have apologized, and I accept your apology, but the damage is irreversible. You can never recall the story from the minds of those who have heard it. And I thought that was a good illustration of what, you know, gossip can be. When we have a slip of the tongue, we can apologize, and we may apologize almost immediately, but, you know, damage is done. And in general, people do not like gossiping busybodies if they're the one being gossiped or busybodied. Sometimes people enjoy hearing gossip, but too many Christians participate in gossip repeatedly. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, that this can be a problem. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, I refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossip and busybodies, saying what they should not. And so this is a problem that Paul noted with Timothy, is that sometimes people that don't have enough to do may become a gossip and a busybody. But what is it? What exactly is gossiping? Why should we avoid it? And what about the Christians that participate in that? How should we behave instead of involving ourselves in things like that? So we want to look at a few things in the Scriptures tonight and see what a problem it is and some instruction that we can learn from it. A few definitions of gossip and slander. And when we look in the Scriptures, we see it translated both ways. Sometimes it's translated slander, sometimes gossip. And here's some definitions. One from the Lexical Age to the New Testament describes it as a secret slanderer versus a backbiter who does his slandering openly. Slander, the speaking of base and defamatory words tending to prejudice another in his reputation. Another definition is to disgrace, to dishonor, and to discredit. So, based on these definitions, let's look at some common misconceptions about gossip. One thing that people will say, well, if it's true, it's not gossip. And you know, that is an untruth about gossip. Gossip and slander is anything that we say if we intend to prejudice someone against somebody else or attempting to dishonor or discredit someone. It may be true that a brother or sister has committed some kind of sin. You may know what it is that they've committed. Maybe it's something that is in their past, and they've been forgiven of that a long time ago. Why would you Why would you seek to hurt their reputation by bringing those kinds of things up? And there may be times when it is appropriate to share information, but one of the things we have to look at is, you know, what is our purpose in talking about something? Is it to prejudice someone against someone else or to discredit them? And that's what slander is. It's discrediting someone maliciously. But you know, what about the next point? Well, I didn't mean to mar that person's reputation, so I didn't gossip. So if it's not malicious, if it's not slanderous, then it's okay. And so sometimes we excuse our loose lips by saying, well, we didn't have any impure motive. We didn't have any ill intent when we talked about someone. You know, we find ourselves in situations from time to time when it is we learn something about someone or we know something about a situation. And for some reason we feel compelled to talk about it and to spread that to others. And that's a problem. And we act as if we are innocent if we don't have impure motives. Few people would openly state that their purpose in spreading information is to make someone else look bad. Now, I know that does happen when people are enemies with someone else. They may want to make a coworker or someone else look bad, but you know, that really is not the attitude that a Christian should have. But how often do we share things and not necessarily to make someone look bad, but maybe it's to make ourselves look better? Or to build ourselves up, and that is that's a problem. But ask yourselves, how would you have spoken about them if you didn't want to mar their reputation? You know, do you always just say whatever is on your mind in every situation? The problem is that we speak without thinking. And afterwards we say, well, you know, I really didn't mean to. I didn't mean for that to come across the way that it did. And if we will avoid it, then we won't have to apologize for it. Another misconception is, you know, well, I don't really want to gossip. I just wanted to let you know. I just wanted to let you know about this situation so you can pray for this person. I'm going to share this in Christian love. That's something that you may hear from time to time. Well, you know, why? Is it something that I must know about? There have been a few times in my life when somebody has come to me and started to share something with me, and I've stopped them and said, no, I don't need to hear this. I'm ashamed to say there's been a lot of other times when people have come to me and told me something, and I didn't stop them and tell them I don't need to hear this. Because, you know, once they got started, well, I wanted to hear the rest of the story. You know, I was tuned into what it is that they're saying, and really when they got to the end, I thought, well, that's not something I really need to know. So I've been on the receiving end of gossip, but I have a responsibility to shut it off when it starts, when somebody starts telling me something like that. So it's a cop out to say, well, you know, I really don't want to gossip, I'm going to tell you something, and I hope it's not gossip. I just want to let you know. And so if that thought is crossing our mind, that we're having to stop and say, well, I really don't want to be guilty of gossip here, but I'm going to tell you this, you've already got a doubt in your own mind about whether or not it's something you should be sharing. So, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell? Is it something that I need to spread? If I'm on the receiving end, is it something that I need to know to help somebody overcome? Is it something that I have already talked to that person about to help them? Are you coming to me as a witness to tell me something about that you have observed? You know, what's the purpose here? The fact is that we need to engage more with that person instead of everybody else And if we're not talking to them directly, and of course there's scriptural principles on that that we'll look at, then we need to keep our mouth shut. Another thing that we might say is, I don't mean to gossip, I just thought you might be able to help. So we're thinking that it's helpful to pass on somebody else's secrets to someone else. And would you find that helpful if somebody did that to you or about you? And just recently we talked about the golden rule when Jesus said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And so this is a good place to apply that. If you're talking about somebody else, you know, put yourself in that person's shoes. Would you like it if somebody was sharing something about you to someone else without engaging you first? In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you like a Gentile and a tax collector. So Jesus here explains who we should talk to first when someone is doing something wrong. He says that you need to go tell everybody in the congregation what that person did. Now, that's not what he said. He didn't say you need to pick out a few of your best friends that you confide in regularly and talk to them about it and ask them their opinion on what it is that you should do. No, he didn't say that either. He said to go to that person alone and talk to that person. And then if they're involved in something they shouldn't be and they don't respond, then you involve other people. Bring two witnesses or one or two others with you. And then if that doesn't work either, then you go to the next level. Problem is we don't follow this instruction very well. Historically, many brethren have not done this. They will go and talk to others first. They'll get some kind of committee together, some kind of informal committee, talk to a few others and say, well, here's what Randy's doing, and so, you know, how do you think we ought to approach that? Well, you should have approached it by going and talking to Randy, or just insert whatever name that you want into that situation. So if we would handle things in this way, then things would be better. Another thing that people say from time to time regarding gossip, I would say this in front of them, so it's not gossip. You know, if they were standing right here, I'd say the same thing that I'm saying to you. And, okay, well, let's back up to what Matthew says. That's what you should have done. You should have said it in front of them, to them alone. And so instead of saying that I'm not afraid to say that to them in person, why don't you go talk to them in person and do what it is that you say you're not afraid to do? Because, you know, why do we wait to do that and see if it's true before we gossip about it? You know, why? So the next time somebody says that to you, say, well, you know, here's a phone right here. You know, go ahead and call them and talk to them about it. Call them right now and let them meet you face to face. So if you need to preface your statement with, well, I would say this in front of them, then you know that it's a time that you need to keep your mouth shut. And so you keep in mind the definition that we looked at here, the fact that you say it in front of someone doesn't mean that you're not gossiping. It may mean that you're a malicious backbiter, is what it could mean. One thing that I've learned about gossip going through different studies on it is that there seems to be no precise definition where we can draw lines about, you know, what you can say and what you can't say. And so, you know, we want to draw a line so we know how close we can get to them. That's usually the reason we want a line. It's so that we can get as close to sin as possible without overtly sinning. But I would present to you and ask you to consider this, that if we are thinking in our hearts that, you know, how much can I say and get away with without it becoming gossip, that we probably have a heart problem. And that holds true for just about any sin. That if we're trying to think about how close we can get to sin without sinning, and show me where the line is so I don't cross over it, then we're trying to get too close. And that this is something that, much like a lot of the things Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, it's a problem that starts in the heart. And the diligent Christian isn't seeking to walk the line and to straddle the fence and see, you know, let's just make sure that I, you know, stay on this side of the fence. The diligent Christian is not seeking to walk that close to the line. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we need to follow this principle here that Paul tells us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So when we think about putting away corrupting speech, and we think about speech that is tender-hearted and being kind to one another, it really helps us monitor and regulate the kind of speech that comes out of our mouth. The Christian should not be speaking out of malice and bitterness or resentment, but kindness and forgiveness. There are several references in the wisdom literature to gossip. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, it says, For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And you may have been in situations where you have seen this kind of thing. In one place that I worked, there was always turmoil because of a certain person that was there, and people were always talking about them. And the funny thing is, it seemed to unify everybody else because everybody had a common enemy. And so when that person left, it was a totally different environment. But it was not a good situation where everybody was always gossiping and backbiting about this particular individual. And, you know, when they left, it was like the wood and the fire left. And so the people that caused the strife really, really didn't leave, but the object of the strife was gone. But Proverbs defines it this way, that gossip is that way. You know, it's feeding fuel, it's feeding a fire, and gossip feeds strife. And many conflicts are never resolved because of hearts that are not right. In Psalm 15, verse 1, the psalmist says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Verse 3 defines who that person is that will sojourn with him. It's he who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend. So slanderers and gossips are those that will not be able to dwell with God. Similarly, in Proverbs chapter 50, or Psalm 50 rather, Psalm 50 verse 19 says, You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. And so this is a pretty rough judgment for those that would participate in these things. And that's one thing that we tend to forget when we think about gossip, because we don't think about it in the same way that we think of other sins. You know, fornication, adultery, and homosexuality, and murder, and lying, and things. Gossip is somewhere on another level. You know, somewhere else, and we don't have the kind of regard for that, the serious regard for it that we should. But Psalm 50 really tells us that these are ones that have forgotten God and will be judged. Gossip is part of the debased mind that is described by Paul in Romans chapter 1 for those who will not honor him properly. Romans chapter 1 verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. Certainly we can see the seriousness of this as it's packaged here in Romans in the description of those that have the debased mind who will not honor God properly. And it's classed here among some of the what we would term the greatest of immoralities. Yet it's not always considered as seriously as it should be. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us that God considers gossip so bad that if a man himself, not necessarily is a gossip, but his wife is, then he's not qualified to be a deacon. By implication, you would probably say also that he wouldn't be qualified to be an elder either. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. We lived in one area where this was a big problem with one of the elders' wives, in that she was known to be a gossip and a busybody, and it made it very difficult for him to serve as an elder in that situation. But thankfully, you know, she changed and got better at that, but it was a problem for a while. James chapter 1 verse 26 tells us if we don't bridle our tongues, our religion is in vain. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. And so this is just a smattering of passages that tells us how wrong gossip is, and that it should be something that's considered to be seriously abstained from. If we want to see what a gossip looks like to God, Psalm 64 is a real good place to look at that. Here in Psalm 64, David is crying out for God to deliver him from his enemies. And what are his enemies doing? Are they laying siege to Jerusalem? Are they torturing him? Are they pursuing him to kill him? No, they're talking about him. And that's what he says. They're gossiping and they're slandering him. Psalm 64, verses 1 and 2. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers. That sounds, you know, ominous, doesn't it? But what it is, if you go on and look, what he is concerned about is the damage that they are doing to him with their tongues. It says, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking who can see them. They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. And so what is being said here by the psalmist is that we may think our words are harmless, but the tongue of the gossip is something that is considered a sword, and it's causing wounds. And so we certainly can recognize that. Those in the world can recognize how bad, you know, gossip is. Those of you that are younger may not know what a newspaper is, but when we had newspapers, which I got my start in a newspaper when I got out of college, we had a couple of, we had Dear Abby and we had Ann Landers, and they were two people that were written to for advice. I think both of them since passed away, but here's something that came from the pen of Ann Landers, entitled Nobody's Friend. My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I'm called Gossip. Office gossip, shop gossip, telephone gossip, church gossip. I make headlines and heartaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, keep it to yourself. And you notice she's not quoting the Bible in any of this when she gives this advice. And, you know, every now and then she would when she was giving advice. But if you think about this from a worldly standpoint and how those in the world see gossip, everybody can see that it's a problem. Without getting real political here, you can see it in our political climate today, how somebody can be called a name or a label can be attached to them, and if enough people say it, then they start to believe it. If a label is attached to somebody, if somebody attaches the word liar to your name, well, there's that liar Randy Jamerson, and if everybody referred to me as liar Randy Jamerson, people that didn't know me would start to think, well, he's the one that's known for lying. So you attach a word or a label to somebody, and as this article says, it becomes true, even though it's not. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. And that's what gossip does. And so I really like the last line of this article, and I think it is very good advice and based on biblical principles. Ask yourselves, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it fair? And if not, you know, keep it to yourself. Psalm 64 also tells us here in verse 4, it says, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly without fear. It's saying that gossipers are cowards. They don't love people, and therefore they are not really wanting to help them. They want to attack. And this says that they're shooting from ambush at the blameless. So that is the idea that they're shooting, you know, from a distance, or they're shooting from someplace that's hidden, that they're hiding. They will speak ill of a person in a guarded situation. And so this also indicates they're picking targets who are without blame, which is certainly unfair. And if you go on here in verses 5 and 6, they hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. So this is somebody that is defined here as a schemer. And, you know, when you go back and look at the beginning of this psalm, as David lays it out and talks about how the wicked is persecuting him, you automatically would think of somebody that's going to hurt him physically or lay siege on his kingdom. But he's talking about words. He's talking about what somebody does with their lips. I think that's very interesting, and because it really does indicate the harm that can come, and you certainly can relate to that, being a leader, that David was in a leadership position, and those that would talk about him could certainly do damage if his enemies were successful in spreading things about him that may not be true. So when we think about this picture and we think about others that we can harm, it's very important for us to understand that this is a sin. It's not just good advice from Ann Landers. It is a sin. And when we look at verses 7 and 8 of the same psalm, we see the outcome for the gossiper. Verse 7 says, "But God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult." And so the outcome here is what we see is that the gossipers and slanderers believe that they are the ones that are in control. They are in for a rude awakening and a strong judgment. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 talks about biting and devouring one another. You remember the outcome? The outcome that Paul says that there is for those who bite and devour one another? That they will be consumed by one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Same thing that the psalmist is saying here. Those that bite and devour one another, those that slander, God is going to, you know, they're intending to shoot arrows at others, but God's going to shoot an arrow at them. So it's not good. God's going to judge us. So our response to gossip, is that we should certainly avoid it. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." So the wise path is to avoid gossips. That way, you know, we avoid the temptation to gossip ourselves, and maybe we can help others not to do that as well. In Matthew chapter 18, which we already read, when someone gossips against us, we shouldn't respond to that in turn and go and talk to everybody else. We should see the outcome here is not good for those that participate in this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21, here's also some good advice for those that may be slandered. The wise writer says, "Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others." This one's a little tough, but don't take it too seriously, whether it's against you or whether it's against others, because we have all been on the receiving end of those kind of things, and we can recognize the pain that it can cause and how false that it is. Another reference to something really old, and that is Gilligan's Island. And if you were a Gilligan's Island fan and you remember this, there was an episode where Gilligan could hear everything that other people were thinking, and it was a disaster. Because every negative thing that someone thought about him, he was able to read their mind, and something that he ended up not really caring for. And you've probably seen that same kind of scenario play out on other kinds of shows as well, where someone ends up having this power of being able to read minds. And I would not want that. I would not want to have that power. I don't think most people would like what they heard. But what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, even the things that you can hear, you need to tune them out. If you're doing what's right, then you need to tune those things out. If you hear something that may be true and gives you some reason to fix something or modify something, you know, you can hear criticism and you can learn from it. But he says, don't take to heart all the things that people say. You know who's writing this? You know, Solomon. And so you can certainly understand that somebody in a leadership position like Solomon is hearing all kinds of things about himself, or he may have others reporting to him, you know what they said about you. You could drive yourself crazy. You'd be tweeting about it all day, right? Whenever you heard something negative about yourself. And so we need to realize that others may not keep control of their tongues. And if they don't, it does not give us a license to let our tongues loose. We need to try to ignore those things and also reprove those who are participating in gossip for their sin. Paul took it seriously, you know, and what we looked at earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 4, he took it so seriously that he directed to the younger widows that, you know, maybe you should get married because it's too easy for you to become a busybody and start gossiping. Ephesians 4 tells us not to let any corrupting talk come out of our mouths, that our job is to build others up with our speech and not tear them down, whether when they're in their presence or not, and give grace and not poison to those who hear us. And I know that we may not have covered new ground tonight, but I think you can see from this subject it's something that we need to hear every so often and understand that we need to keep watch on our tongues. It's not easy for some of us to keep our tongues in control. And we can end up doing damage that can last a long time if we're not careful. So let's keep our tongues in control and realize that it is a serious sin and that we have sufficient warning in the Scriptures about how we ought to control ourselves. If we can help you in any way tonight to respond to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand together and speak.